Welcome to the Hendershot Gallery Podcast.
Today is January 21st, 2007, with Joe Figg. When did you consider yourself a professional artist and were able to dedicate yourself full-time to that pursuit?
I considered myself an artist the fall of 1989, my senior year in undergraduate school at School of Visual Arts. I felt like I made my first real artwork, my first real painting. And that is what I consider painting number one, and it's been steady since. But I feel like I have sort of two careers, or two starts. So from 89 until 2000, I was a painter. In the fall of 2000, I went to graduate school. And between 99 and the fall of 2000, during the spring, is when I started to make what eventually evolved into the work that I am currently doing. When I was able to make it full-time was recently. Before this, I had always had another job.
Did something come about to allow you to do that?
Yeah, I guess it was the first Scope Fair in Miami. It was the first time I really sort of exhibited my work at an art fair, and everything sold. I think it was at that point actually that I decided to cut my hours at SVA to 3 days a week. The idea was that if I could spend more time in the studio and produce more work, maybe I'll be able to support myself with that. And then how long have you been in this studio?
This studio now 2 years.
Is your studio separate from your home? And is that what you prefer? And does that affect your work?
My studio was an old garage, which I converted into a studio, and it's attached to the house, except it has a separate entrance. And I do prefer working from home. I guess I've always done it. The only times I didn't do it is when I was at school or when I was at the Marie Walsh Sharp Art Foundation. And actually, in both cases, I continued to work at home for a little bit. I think I like the convenience of working from home and the fact that you're just able to go out at any time and pop your head into your studio and see what you're doing. Did you have a plan for the layout of your studio, or did it develop organically?
I kind of had a plan when I moved into the space. I mean, really, it's not a large space, but it was a raw two-car garage with a very high cathedral ceiling, probably about 18, 19 feet in dead center. So the space feels bigger than it is because of the height of the peak ceiling. So I wanted to try to make it feel larger than it is. So I had it insulated, I had the sheetrocked. I put down a wooden floor. I put insulated garage doors on, and I tried to keep everything up off the floor. So I put my storage. I made a storage rack up over one of the garage doors, over the beam, and that's where most of my storage is. I put shelves up to try to keep things up off the floor. My work table, which is a very long table, doesn't have any legs on it. It's actually angled, supported off of the wall with angled 2x4s so that there are no beams. So if you walk in the studio, there's usually nothing on the floor, and everything is usually up. So it kind of tries to create space bigger. I also actually moved like the bookcases and the shelves into the far corners of the studio so that when you walk in, your eye goes back there to try to put work out into the corners, but that distance would hopefully just again make the space seem larger.
Has the location of your studio influenced your work?
No. When I first moved up to Connecticut, I guess 3.5 years ago, I was concerned that moving out of New York or Brooklyn would be problematic, that I would feel disconnected. And I guess to a certain extent, sometimes I do. However,
since now it's been 3.5 years since I've been up here and 2 years since I've been in the studio, since my work focuses on artists in their studios and other artists, a lot of my work is actually going to other artists' studios. So it keeps me, that part does keep me connected. And then when I'm here, it's so quiet and peaceful on this, on my lane, on the street where I live, that there isn't much traffic at all. I'm surrounded by trees and stone walls, etc. It's just a nice place to work. Can you describe a typical day, being as specific as possible? A typical day, which is fairly typical, is I will wake up probably around 6:30 when the kids wake up. My wife gets up first, and then I'll get up, and then she'll go to work, and then I'll deal with my kids, give them breakfast, get them dressed, and then take them to daycare. I like to try to leave the house somewhere between 8 or so, 8 and 8:30, the latest, to get them over to daycare. Then I'll go to the gym and work out for a half hour and come back, shower, go on a computer, check email. By the time I get into the studio, though I'd like it to be earlier, generally it's not until probably 10:30. And then I'll work for an hour or so, or 2 hours, I guess, until about lunchtime, which could vary anywhere from 12 till 1:30, depending on how hungry I am. And usually after lunch is when I hit my stride, and then I'll work till 5, almost on the dot, which is when I go and pick up the kids from daycare, and then I'll come home, play around, eat dinner, and then after bedtime for the kids, which is at 8 o'clock, I will usually come into the studio again, probably for another hour and a half till about 9:30 or so. Do you listen to music or watch TV or anything? I always have the radio on. About a year and a half ago, I subscribed to Sirius Satellite Radio. I listen to Howard Stern until around 2 o'clock in the afternoon when he goes off the air, and then I'll switch over to different music stations. It kind of depends on the time of year, on what I like to listen to. In the winter months, usually it's sort of jazz, or this one station called Coffee House, which plays sort of singer-songwriter music. In the summer months, I tend to play probably a little bit more country music. Usually when I come in at night, I will always listen to the station called The Vault, which is sort of a less popular classic rock station. And do you have specific clothing you wear? I do, actually. I wear pretty much the same clothes every single day. I have a pair of work pants, and usually the same Old Navy sort of zip-up sweatshirt kind of thing. I have one in black and one in orange that I pretty much wear all the time. What kind of paints do you use? Well, I'm not really painting pictures here per se. It's probably been about 2 years since I've painted any, since I did actually any real paintings. So I don't really have a painting table set up that I use all the time. So generally for my sculptures, I basically use acrylic paint. And I've always hated acrylic paint, but I've actually gotten pretty good at using it and mixing colors and getting things to look how I want them to look, which is mostly either aged or dirty. And then I'll only use oil paints for if I'm usually working on the figures for my sculptures. Do you have a favorite color? As far as oil painting goes, when I was painting, I'd probably say my favorite color to squeeze out of the tube is a cadmium red deep. There's just, I don't wear red, I don't really use red that much, but it's just such a beautiful, rich color, especially right out of the tube. And it's creamy and it's lush, it's just beautiful. Do you have any special devices or tools that are unique to your creative process? No, I use a computer a lot, which is odd to say, saying it out loud, but I guess I do use a computer a lot. Photoshop, I print out a lot of labels and things when I'm making whatever, books and small paint tubes and coffee cans, all that stuff, I use that. I have a little pipe cutter, which I use to cut my tubing. I use just a lot of sort of plastic and miniature wood, I guess kind of model making stuff, if you want to call it that. I have my saws, my little hacksaw I use like a zillion times a day, markers, just little sculpting tools. I don't think anything unique. Are there specific items that you have in your studio that have significant meaning to you? You know, there are. There's a marble carved fig that sits on my window, which a friend had given to me probably in 1993 when I lived in Woodstock, New York. But that I keep with me. I always, for some odd reason, put a horseshoe over the door of my studio. I don't know why, but that horseshoe I got from a friend of mine from Central Pennsylvania. So those two are significant. Pictures. What else is really significant? I have my son's sneakers hanging up. I don't know if that's significant. I just threw them up there and just kind of left them there. Maybe they will become significant. I think that's it. Do you work on one project at a time or several? Usually just one. I work one piece at a time. I work on one piece, I finish it, and then I move on to the next piece. When you're contemplating your work, where and how do you sit or stand? You know, I don't really contemplate my work like I used to when I was painting. With the sculptures, you know, they're sculptures, so they're, you have to look at it from every angle, and so you're usually just kind of standing up, you're spinning around. Usually when I'm not in the studio, believe it or not, is kind of when I'm contemplating the work. I'm always thinking about what I guess I could do next or what order to do things in, etc. How often do you clean your studio, and does that affect your work? I don't know if it affects my work. When I'm working, I sit at my desk or my table. I guess I cut a lot of paper because I always end up with tons of paper scraps and wood scraps and plastic scraps all on the floor. Believe it or not, I am very messy and I got crap everywhere on this table. So usually when it gets too much, or if I finish a particular thing that I've been working on, is when I'll clean up. Or on Fridays, every Friday I try to clean up on Friday afternoon. And all that means is just basically sweeping the floor, clearing off the desk, putting things away. How do you come up with titles? I used to care a lot about titles, and with my paintings, I used to try to come up with good titles. And I always thought it was important to come up with good titles. Then at some point, I stopped kind of coming up with good titles, and now basically they're just the name of the subject and the date of when I went to their studio, you know, the year it was. So it's whatever. Inca Essenhigh, 2003, you know. Bill Jensen, March 23rd, 2006, or whatever. So it's kind of boring. So that's just kind of what it is. Do you have assistants? No, I have no assistants. Did you ever work for another artist? And if so, did that have any effect on the way you work? I did. In fact, I was thinking of this morning. I worked for a painter named Peter Dean when I was, it was a junior and senior in undergraduate school. So this would have been around 88, 89, and I also worked for a sculptor named Paul von Ringelheim. Both those artists are now passed. I was thinking how Peter Dean, he had actually a huge effect, a huge influence on me. He's an abstract expressionist painter, or not an abstract, I'm sorry, a figurative expressionist painter, but I think the way he set up his table was a big influence on me for the first 10 years that I painted. And I was thinking today on how when I went to his studio, I must have been, I don't know, 19, 20, 20 years old, 21 years old. He was on the Spring Street in the Bowery. It was my first experience with being a real artist. I mean, I grew up in Long Island, I didn't know what being an artist was really about. You know, you kind of have these sort of ideas. But so he was the first real artist that I worked for. And going into his studio was really like going back in time. And I worked for him, you know, a day a week, stretching canvas mostly. And he'd be on his side painting, wearing these old sort of paint-splattered clothes and old sweaters, listening to, I think it was WKCR, jazz station all day, you know, 1920s jazz, in this old loft on, you know, Spring in the Bowery with this kind of kooky painter, and it was really a throwback in time and sort of a suspension of time when I was there, and it was really a magical place. And I was thinking on how the work that I'm doing now and my interest in, I guess, painters or artist studios, is maybe the same fascination and the same joy that I had being in his studio. The smell of the paint, the music, the whole aura of, I mean, he really had an aura of a real painter's studio. And he was great. And I learned a lot from him. But what I learned from him, he painted a lot. He painted a real lot. And he made a lot of bad paintings, but he also made a lot of good paintings. And my thought was if he paints, I mean, he painted a lot. So in the course of a year, you know, if you paint, you know, 60 paintings or so, and every fifth or sixth one is great, you know, at the end of the year, you have 10 great paintings. And he always worked. And that is something that's very important to me, is the idea, and it was almost scared into me too in undergraduate school, just the idea that you have to keep on working. Just get in your studio and always be making something. Even if it's crap, finish it and then make something else. But always be working. You can't just sit there and wait. And stare at the walls and wait for something to happen, because it's not going to. Creative thoughts come while you're creating. And I believe that opportunities come when you are creating. I was thinking today on the importance when you're young, a young artist starting out, the importance of working for another artist. But I was thinking of the direct influence that working for Peter Dean, and then again Paul von Ringelheim, a sculptor who worked completely different, the influence that had on, and has had on me today as an artist. When you work for another artist, you see how they live. You see that it's not, it gives reality to what an artist does. But I think that experience of working for someone gives someone who's just starting out some direct experience. Do you have a motto or creed that as an artist you live by? You know, there are the cheesy ones like, just do it, which is silly, but I do believe in that. You just do it. Just work. Just always work. And, you know, again, until recently, when I was finally able to quit my jobs for 15 years, I had a full-time job while making my art at night, on the weekends, you know, whenever I could. And I tried to be fairly regular and steady with it. And I think that's extremely important. Extremely important. You just have to believe in yourself, believe in what you're making, make what you want to make. And a recent new motto, I guess this would be a motto, is that luck is preparedness meets opportunity, is luck. That's another thing I think is to be very organized. You need to follow up with people. You need to send thank you notes to people. You need to thank people who help you. and you have to have faith. Above my door, I don't know why I wrote it, it was a time of struggle, but I wrote focus, discipline, and faith. And I guess one other motto would be, if you genuinely have something to say, there are people who genuinely want to hear it. That's from A Course in Miracles. What advice would you give a young artist that is just starting out? I guess I covered some of that in the last three questions. I'd say work for another artist, if you can. Get some time, one day a week, whatever. Work for another artist. See how they work. You'll learn a lot. Second is, which I learned also from Peter Dean, reuse your materials as if they're not yours. Don't be cheap. Keep working. Believe in yourself. And that's it. Thank you very much.
To subscribe to Hendershot Gallery's podcast, please click the link provided. Thank you, and stay tuned for the next Hendershot Gallery podcast.